Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we are continuing with our ongoing conversation on fixed income. We are joined today by Head of Taxable Fixed Income Strategy for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office, Leslie Falconio. Leslie, good morning. Welcome back. And thank you for spending some time today with our listeners and our clients.
Thank you for having me.
So for today, Leslie, we will spend some time spotlighting the latest Fixed Income Strategist publication. Within the piece, you do spend some time outlining market and macro expectations through the balance of the year, indicating that both growth and inflation are trending lower. So what exactly supports that view, Leslie?
Well, you know, the first quarter of 2024, as we know, saw above expectations in inflation, which really forced the market to take a step back, reassess, and reprice its outlook, you know, to the Fed path. And that's exactly what the market did after coming into 2024 with a very dovish outlook. And we saw the 10-year Treasury yield get to around that 4.73, 4.75 in April, right? But since that time, we have seen some normalization in the economy, which we expect to continue. I mean, first off, as we know, CPI, you know, came in actually below expectations. A lot of it is finally from those two variables that had seen some high demand and low supply shocks, meaning like things from like housing and equivalent rent, things from auto insurance. Those kinds of variables are starting to normalize a little bit and come down. We've also seen, you know, things like the JOLTS report show fewer job openings, lower quit rates. Today, this morning, we saw a rise in claims. Not to mention things such as the ISM numbers really moving into what we call contractionary territory. So really what we're seeing is more of a balance here in terms of the economy when we think about the Fed's focus, which has really spotlighted the inflation component in terms of the full employment. So now we're going to look at both. Now we're going to look at inflation and growth going forward because, again, as we know, the Fed has been on hold for a year. And historically, that's, you know, been well above their historical time frame before they make an adjustment, i.e. cut. And we know a lot of that has to do with the fiscal stimulus that we've seen. A lot of that has to do with the fact that those interest rate sort of components that have would normally be headwinds to the economy, such as the mortgage rate, really has not been because individuals are locked in much lower. So, but now we are expecting going forward that the economy starts to continue to slow. We still look for a soft landing, but we are expecting that the economy will slow. You know, interest rates have fallen by, you know, a tremendous amount from that high of 4.75 we saw in April. It got down to 4.14 just recently, but we're still in this 4 to 4.5 range where we've been in for the past 5 to 6 weeks. And I do think that we'll probably stay in that range at least for the next couple of months.
So with that in mind, Leslie, with the Fed's higher for a longer approach seemingly delivering impact, when exactly does CIO expect the next rate cutting cycle to begin?
Well, we are thinking September, and we are thinking two cuts this year. But, you know, again, Dan, as we always have said, and what the market has experienced, you know, with quite a tremendous amount of force, it's really what the market is pricing in and how that the market, what the market's pricing in versus what the Fed is guiding and how that variance might lead to volatility. And what I mean by that is even though we anticipate two cuts this year for 50 basis points, the market right now is currently pricing in close to 3. And even though we do anticipate, say, around 75-100 basis points in 2025 rate cuts, the market's pricing in that as well. So you really need to see the data support that kind, those kinds of cuts going forward. Because, you know, as we've always said, the market is forward-looking, the Fed is backward-looking. So you have to see the data come in. It doesn't have to be weak. It just be a little bit showed that sort of trending down, and you definitely can't see a reacceleration of inflation. But right now, we feel pretty confident that the Fed will start to cut in September. And remember, too, given the level of where we're starting from, you know, the 50 basis points of cuts that we have expected in 2024 isn't, you know, going to be a huge burst of liquidity or accommodation because the level is so high to begin with. But we do believe that the Fed wants to be a little bit preemptive and not be behind the curve like they were with hiking and, you know, them waiting because they thought it was transitory. We don't believe that the Fed wants to wait too long and risk either having to cut more in terms of quantity or magnitude, you know, each meeting versus the 25, bringing that up to 50. So we think they're going to start to, you know, cut slowly. We call them non-recessionary cuts. And we think that continues into starting in September throughout 2025.
So as far as what this might all mean for fixed income performance, how might fixed income total return then be impacted by such an adjustment to monetary policy?
Look, you know, listen, if growth is healthy, spreads can stay tight for an extended period of time. And one of the things that we wrote about and we highlighted in the FIZ, you know, because we are expecting this soft landing, you know, the cuts this time around in this cycle, you know, one would label them as shallow. And that's what we mean by these non-recessionary cuts. These are like maintenance cuts. I mean, if you look at it historically over the past 40, 50 years, normally the Fed is cutting because there's a fat tail event or because we're going into, you know, a recession or entering a deep recession. And this time around, we look for these cuts, but we look at what we call a shallow cycle. And what we did in the strategist is that we showed historically, the two times in the past, you know, 60 years, 80s and 90s, when the flooding and it was a soft landing, how actually spreads and the market reacted. And normally what we see is that, you know, spreads can remain range bound, but they can have the ability and probably will this time around. So you might see, say, 25 to 50 basis points of widening in lower credit quality, 10 to 15 basis points of widening in higher credit quality. But again, given the fact that we are assuming that, you know, we are just normalizing, you know, from this large growth and expansion that we saw, particularly when you look at GDP in the fourth quarter of 23, then the carry that you're earning, you know, will offset that spread widening that you might experience. And that's really what the key has been to on the fixed income side, is that, you know, we look for this kind of carry to really be the driver of total return. Price appreciation will be secondary, given the fact that we already hit that 4.14 10-year treasury yield. But with that said, you know, we still want to be cognizant of where we are in the cycle. We want to be aware of how well the equity market has done. And we really want to allocate too, given the uncertainty, you know, going forward, either whether it's, you know, geopolitical uncertainty, you know, uncertainty around actual Fed actions. We want to stay in that higher quality right now, simply because you can still earn very good carry in higher quality. And there might be a little bit of short-term volatility on the horizon.
So in terms of what this means for positioning, Leslie, what are CIO's current recommendations when it comes to fixed income? How should investors be positioning right now?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've been pretty prudent about being tactical when it comes to our interest rate outlook. And we've done, you know, our best, and I think we've done really well in terms of setting ranges in the treasury market, right? Because we've had a tremendous amount of volatility this year. And then we had, you know, growth slowing. We've had, you know, these geopolitical concerns. You know, we've had a lot of, you know, that type of volatility the first half of the year. But I think we've set our ranges pretty well. And what we've seen recently, which has really been, in my opinion, you know, a benefit, is that because we've been in this 4-4.5% range for the last couple of weeks, right, and really for a large part of the year, you've had the opportunity to be tactical. Right. I mean, you know, you'd want to buy at 4.5. You'd want to start to trim back your interest rate risk around 4. But just know that overall, more than likely, our outlook is for long term that interest rates will trend lower. That doesn't mean you're not going to have pockets of vulnerability. Of course, I mean, we do have an election coming up. But overall, we think that the Fed will cut. The Fed will keep cutting. Growth and inflation will trend lower. And so interest rates should come down. And that's our longer term expectation. But how we've been positioned is we've been playing that tactical range, right, because it's really been a benefit and it's enhanced our total return. And we've also really stayed within that higher quality and picked those sectors within those higher quality. We still have investment-grade corporates. I'll label them as cheap. But we do think that the balance sheets are very healthy. Same with household balance sheets. They still remain very healthy. We're going to take that incremental yield, that incremental carry. And what we're going to do in that situation is that we barbell the investment-grade corporates, because the curve is still inverted, even though we do think it starts to normalize in the first quarter of 2025. But the curve is still inverted, so we're going to barbell our investment-grade corporates from 1 to 3, like 7 to 10. And then for those other sectors, we're really playing that 4.5-year type of positioning on the Treasury curve, simply because, you know, the belly will lead the way once the Fed cuts. And this is, you know, as we've talked about, Dan, many times, I mean, the fixed income market is a show-me market. We've been shown, you know, little sort of nuances that growth, you know, is starting to slow. We're back to this disinflation trend. But as we know, it takes more than a couple months for, you know, the Fed to really get serious about cutting consistently. And right now, we're just not quite there, you know, even though we do believe the cut is in September. So we're going to have to wait to see. You know, we have a lot of numbers from now until September. We obviously have Jackson Hole in August as well. So I do think that, you know, they'll open the door to Fed cuts, but we're going to have this sort of pocket of vulnerability for the latter part of the year as well.
Well, Leslie, thank you for dropping by Top of the Morning today to keep our listeners, our clients, current on CIO's thinking when it comes to fixed income positioning and expectations in the months ahead for monetary policy, what that all means for one's fixed income portfolio. So thank you again for your time, Leslie, and look forward to continuing our conversation again soon.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.